The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Walking Terra Christa Radio with Christine Milleresi and Mike Hayden. In this hour, Mel and Mike will serve as your guides as you access the spirit realm light beings who teach the shamanic mysteries. You'll meet fascinating guests and gain the knowledge to walk upon Terra Christa, the new earth. Now, here are your hosts, Mel and Mike.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Walking Terra Christa Radio. Last week, we had a very special show with singer and songwriter Carl Stedman. If you missed it, please do take the time to listen to the recording on our radio show page of voiceamerica.com. It is really exciting to be with you as we bring ascension down to earth. Today, we're going to continue to bring our background story, only this time the roles are reversed. I am Mel, and I'm here with my co-host Mike, who I will be interviewing today. Welcome, Mike. It feels better to be on this side of the microphone.
Yeah, glad to be here, Mel. And I think this will be fun. We had a great time last time, so. First, let me just tell everyone, our specialty is assisting you in becoming masters of the new earth, Terra Christa. We ourselves are master ascension guides and teach through vibratory communication, which is the ability to bring forth higher frequency light forms for your remembrance and your growth. So be sure to check out our website and Facebook page, Walking Terra Christa. You can also find us on Twitter at Walking Terra. All right, Mel, I guess I'm ready to be your guest today.
Well, the first thing I'd like to bring up before we get started on our discussion is tomorrow is the new moon energies. It is coming in at 12:18 a.m. Pacific time. And this new moon represents beauty, our ability to express joy through nature, and is also the moon for the onset of Wesak, which will be May 5th, which is the full moon. So it's a very powerful time for each of us to tune within ourselves and take care of those elements we no longer want to have with us as we move into the energies of Wesak, which we will discuss in a couple of weeks. So, Mike, we are here together discussing our background, and today is your story. You were interviewing me on my childhood and my challenges, and you said you can relate even though you felt your experience was not as severe as mine. So now let's turn it onto you and put you into the hot seat. And I'm so looking forward to having you share your story.
Well, thanks, Mel. I guess that sounds like a good place to start. I know you had mentioned in your story the weight issues, the feelings like you didn't fit in, and the stuttering and how that also isolated you. You had your issues with your family and the excesses of alcohol that held such dysfunctions. By comparison, I can't say I had it that tough. I guess in other ways I can relate, though. I, too, was very aware of that there was a bigger picture, that there was a wider element to humanity at a very young age. Like you, I knew there was a way of living that should not involve cruelty and harshness. My father was an alcoholic, My father was an alcoholic, too, and he did manage to get into recovery by the time I was nine, but there was a great deal of dysfunction between my parents and the arguing and the yelling. And to me, my remembrance is that that was pretty much a daily thing, though I'm sure it wasn't. It just affected my soul deeply, and it made me very sad. When I looked at my classmates' lives, I didn't see that going on. So I felt estranged from having a quote-unquote normal life that I perceived that I didn't have, and I perceived that they did have. This made me feel that I was different and did not fit in, similar to your story, I know it seems silly to add this, but I also had to wear eyeglasses in third grade, and apparently that is cause for kids to ridicule and make fun of you. And it certainly added to my perceptions of being less in their eyes and, you know, different.
Well, Mike, I can truly understand those feelings, as I shared 2 weeks ago in my own story. That's an interesting perception that you had at that age. It seems the eyeglasses were truly a gift for you. As you now reflect back on your life, how do you think those overall feelings you felt were, did they help you or hinder you in your present pathway?
Well, I know we mentioned it a little bit in the part one. I do think many light workers purposefully orchestrate themselves into these kind of childhood situations to give them several opportunities in the sense of many facets, not just being one reason why they happen. After all, one thing we know in our lives is that they're not linear, and I don't mean that in the sense of a timeline, but in the sense of we're multidimensional people, and everything has more than one reason to why it's happening. We tend to look at things as if life just is one thing. So in the example of my glasses, wearing the glasses, say the most obvious thing was to overcome being ridiculed by other kids and to learn how to deal with that. But part of me thinks it also had to do with my literal perception of my world. Because as soon as I put on the glasses, my view changed. And just by simply looking through them on a psychological level, I think this reminded me of how we perceive the world is not the same from one individual to another, even as ourselves. We're viewing the exact same scene or event, but we're seeing it in a different way. So to answer your question on how it was positive, I think as I grew up, it totally allowed me to understand that even though other people's lives looked fine from the outside, I think inside in their private lives, you know, quote unquote, behind closed doors, they may also be struggling and in a silent pain as I was. So in a way, that was kind of profound wisdom for a kid of 9 to begin to grasp. It shaped my entire life from that moment on.
I totally agree with that, to be able to have that perception. Let us go a little bit more in depth on what you mean. Do you think the glasses were truly a window of opportunity for your soul to understand being here in the physical world?
It definitely gave me a firm foundation in seeing that appearances are not the reality. And of course, that's something we all struggle with, being that we're in a third dimensional show. Shakespeare said all the world is a stage, and he was really telling the truth. Life is full of illusions. I mean, none of my own friends or my siblings' friends saw the yelling and dysfunction that went on in the house because it didn't go on when they were there. So I think everyone's on their best behavior when others are around. And of course, that's the code of the alcoholic family environment. As I got a bit older, maybe 11 or 12, I realized that other families might be hiding things as well. I learned to think that there is always more to the story. And of course, now calling myself a light worker or a torchbearer of the truth, it really was a major theme in my life to constantly seek out the underlying truth. And within that, realizing even at an older age in my 30s, that there are always multiple truths and multiple perspectives. And there's always more to the story. So, you know, that's kind of, I guess it was a profound gift in a way.
Well, I think that this really gives us a window onto the depth of your soul, even at the age of 9 years old. Do you think this realization made your situation easier?
Yes and no. It certainly gave me the idea that it wasn't, it wasn't as maybe unique as I thought it was in the beginning. I don't want to make it sound like I was, you know, enlightened like the Buddha because I found out that realization and found happiness. I did not. I was still very confused as a child and confused for most of my adult life. Not that I was truly unhappy as an adult, but it took me a great deal of effort to sort things out and find some semblance of normalcy in the world of the third dimensional matrix, as I call it. It did help me realize that maybe my life was not all that messed up. And as I looked at it, the rest of the world, I mean, I was very sensitive as a child. I would bring home baby squirrels or baby birds that had fallen out of their nest because they needed help and there was no one to help them. I was I grew up Catholic, and as a child, I really did believe that during Lent, the starving children in China actually needed me not to eat a meal on Fridays. But I did. I really felt overall that, you know, even as a kid and a teen, I felt there should be more happiness in the world, and I didn't really see it out there that much.
Well, when you talk about referring to being out there, are you talking about perceiving other dimensional realities? Were you that sensitive, or just the world around you that was different?
Well, more like just the world around me. I may have been sensitive and not aware of it, but I was born in 1963, and that was the year that JFK was assassinated.
That was a rough year.
So I know that in the regular gestalt of, you know, the Western world's way of thinking, they would say, well, you were too young, you weren't a participant in that, you didn't consciously experience it. But in my belief system, and of course what we teach together and what this show is all about, is that there is more to the story. The energy is energy, and it's there, and the mass consciousness exists. And so when everybody was going through this profound, you know, sense of loss when that happened, this sense that their vision of Camelot, you know, had been broken. And I think historians tell us that that was the first time in the modern Western world that that had happened in North America. So it's, in a way, I really think it affected me. I think it actually had a real impact on my psyche, as a lot of other people's psyches, even though I was a newborn child or a six-month-old. And of course, there was Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy, too, in my early years.
Well, Mike, we're going to be taking a break in another minute or so, but I totally agree. Of course, I was alive during that time. I'm a little bit older than you. How can you not be affected by the energies? And we are going to discuss that a little bit more in a few moments.
Well, I do. I just want to add that it is, I think this is one of the major components that people need to really grasp, is astrology is one of the most ancient sciences on the planet, with numerology. Numerology, of course, has to do with the date you're born and actually the minute you're born. And I think that these are very real energies. I know that they actually shape your personality and who you are. And that's why these astrological signs hold so much impact in our lives for people that actually take the time to look at them. There's also the factor of, as doing the work that we teach, where you can elevate yourself above some of those frequencies because they're planetary. So as we teach walking into the 5D body, the healings and attunements that we teach, the actual elements, you can actually rise above those elements of your birth. So, you know, I was an Aries, and there's a lot of parts of the Aries that just don't fit me anymore. I've moved
out
of
that. That's very true. Very, very true. Well, we're going to discuss that more in a few moments. We are talking with Mike Hayden, my co-host on Walking Terra Crista Radio, where we are doing part two of our background story on the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. We're going to break now, but we will be back shortly to continue our conversation.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Is there a difference between dream work and intuition? The relationship is closer than you think. These are mutually supportive concepts. When you dream, your intuition serves as a foreshadow of the future and can bring rapid results through dream analysis. Tune in to The Partnership of Intuition and Dreams with your host, Dr. Marcia Emery. Explore this unique relationship and learn to understand how the symbolism of dreams can be clarified. Listen every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Do you consider yourself already on the pathway to walking on the new earth? Do you wonder what is next and how you're going to make it? Melaresi and Mike are here to assist with your own personal shamanic transformation. They offer personal sessions where you'll receive direct communication from the spiritual hierarchy to remember who you are as a being of divine love and light. These Master Ascension Guides also conduct 3 live calls each week on Sunday, Monday, and Wednesday at 5 p.m. North American Pacific Time. Each call taps you into the teachings and frequencies you will need to transform yourself to be able to fully embrace Terra Christa, the new earth. Get all the details at walkingterracrista.com. You will also get access to many high-frequency packed MP3 recordings, audio meditations, attunements, decrees, and a wealth of detailed information, plus be able to sign up for an Ascension Mastery class. If you have limited financial means, there is plenty to access according to their unique terms of exchange. Visit walkingterracrista.com and accelerate your journey right away.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Be extraordinary. Be the change.
You are tuned in to Walking Terra Christa Radio with Mel and Mike. If you wish to be a part of our program this week, please call in to 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. You may also send an email to radioshow@walkingterracrista.com. And now, back to our program.
Welcome back. I am Mel, and this is Walking Terra Christa Radio. I am interviewing my co-host, Mike, on his background story. We were talking about how instrumental it was to be born the year JFK was assassinated and the energetics that were going on at that time. I think we do not realize as humans on the general consciousness that we are affected by the vibrations that are happening in the world, even though we may have been born at that time. Of course, our soul chooses that also to come in at that time. I also find it's interesting because I know as a child myself, I was gifted to be able to tap into the wider realities of the unseen. It seems to me that maybe you were more like me than you realize. Very sensitive. Maybe you too were able to sense the unseen, the wider reality. What do you think about that, Mike?
Well, it's kind of interesting you say that because I know in my 20s, I was told that I had turned off my gifts in that regard because it was too tough for me to accept that, you know, expanded reality beyond what we see into the unseen. I didn't really know what to make of that at the time. In many ways, I think my life hasn't been about rediscovering the parts I've turned off. Only it is also about the parts I had in other lifetimes that I also needed to bring back in. And that is the shamanic pathway that we teach. Of course, it's the pathway of light workers as well. I guess to get back to what we were saying about the 60s, I do think it was a profound sadness that all Americans felt, and I was somehow aware of it. And I think from day one of my life, this was a very strong link to humanity's heart that I had.
That is very special, and knowing you as I do now, it's especially true about your sensitivity and has shaped who you are. I was the same. And it got me into trouble many times because as a light worker torchbearer, I always expected to be in a world of great love and compassion. As always, entered into most situations expecting those feelings. It's funny how naive I was in living from my heart. I was told I always wore my heart on my sleeve. And then frequently, if not every time, having that expectation not met, I got hurt a great deal of the time by other individuals. And yet, I could not adapt to behaving like those others did. I just couldn't relate to treating others that way. I think it's a common theme among many lightworkers that we are very naive in relation to the outside world around us. And that's when we learn discernment in all of our affairs.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, that certainly happened in my experience. It's funny. It's almost as if you go through life speaking a foreign language and having no one really relate to what you were saying. I do feel everybody can relate to that.
So did things shift for you as you got older? What was the process that happened for you in your life?
Well, not all that much. There was definitely an underlying current that I always tapped into of seeking more. But college was not a smooth ride for me, to say the least. I did finish it, and then the workplace of plodding along day in and day out as a cog in the larger wheel never seemed to be fitting into my passion. In my dating and love life, I dated not a lot of women. I did date one woman on and off for many years, and eventually she and I got married, and we had two wonderful kids. But shortly after that, when they were 1 and 3, she asked to divorce me. So at the time, it devastated me, trying to live a normal, happy life in the 3D world and make everything work. In a way, I guess, looking back in hindsight, I was trying to put blinders on, trying to fit into the reality, even though part of me always knew there was something more. It was as if I was really turning my back on the real me so I could fit into that, artificial vision, I guess. And I really didn't know that her divorcing me was a gift.
This happens to all of us, I think. I, too, was married for a very short time to a man that I was very connected with, but we just couldn't make it in the marriage. But he brought to me the healing that happened for me in my inner child. Vitamins, herbal, exercise, finding more of a balance of getting into a more healthy lifestyle, and I thank him deeply for that every day. So these people that come into our lives are considered divine compliments that are here to wake us up. Let's talk about how this all shifted for you. I know when I met you 2 years ago, you definitely did not seem to be aware of who you are. You were running a channeling event. I thought you were much more aware than I realized after we got to be friendly. And you were working the pathway of marketing, your 3D matrix life. So when did this really shift for you?
Well, when we met, I was actually walking, I guess, in both worlds kind of equally, which almost, and I think this is an important lesson, made both of them not work at all. Because I think part of the whole process of maintaining the third dimensional matrix and trying to continue to buy into all those mass consciousness messages is you can't do this work fully. And if you then try to do this work of being on the spiritual path of bringing your gifts to humanity, then if you're still trying to do that, you can't do this fully. So I would have to say, putting into perspective, my journey to awakening more fully from the matrix started in 2000. And just 3 years later, I ended up getting divorced. I had been reading Danny and Brinkley's book and the Conversations with God books, and of course, James Redfield's The Celestine Prophecy. And I just couldn't put those books down. I mean, they really tapped into something that I was like, okay, these people are talking about that other realms, those other energies, I also ended up reading some of Stuart Wilde's books, Don Miguel Ruiz's books. And because I was in the technology business at that time, just prior to my doing the marketing, we were doing the whole Y2K event emergency thing at that time, which was all about going back and looking into the past. And while that was what we were physically doing, there was something, again, that deeply affected me psychologically, where I began to think about my life and my past. And what we were doing with the software to try and avoid all these disasters that everybody was predicting was to make sure all the code was going to work in the future, once we passed that date of 2000.
Right.
So in 1999, this was like a big awakening for me also. I had been watching some wonderful PBS programs that were very high vibrational, I guess how we would characterize it today, about Joseph Campbell and the power of myth and tapping into a lot of that energies. And he was just a fabulous, wonderful man and teacher. And he really said the same thing that that Confucius said about, you know, if you find a job that you love, you'll never work a day in your life. He always articulated to follow your bliss. And even though I was, you know, in a relationship that I felt that was good, that I was happy, I had two wonderful small children, I still did not feel that bliss every day in my life. And I did wonder, where is my bliss? So that really resonated with me. And I really didn't voice that to my ex-wife. I mean, I tuned into it and had her watch it while I was watching it. And the books I would hand to her, and, you know, she didn't really get them, didn't quite understand them. They didn't really resonate with her. But I guess on some soul level, she kind of realized that this was something very strong differences between us. And while I had, you know, grown up in a dysfunctional family, in a environment that was very, a lot of anger and harshness, nothing physical. But I didn't want to have any arguing in my marriage, so we didn't do that. We discussed things to some extent, and I thought everything was going fine, because I didn't do the arguing and yelling. But she actually was very unhappy, much more so than I was. I just didn't know that. So it just orchestrated itself. I wasn't asking for that. And as an aside, at my workplace, where I was very much entrenched in technology, I ended up writing a memo to the senior management one day because of an incident that had happened that was more about command and control tactics of old world style yelling and belittling that the management was doing to the lower levels of staff. And I thought this was a horrible issue of more morale in the company. And that led me to entirely changing my job at the company. And then another 2 years after that, I was unceremoniously laid off. So I didn't ask for these things to happen. I didn't ask to be divorced. I didn't ask to be laid off from a job that I thought was wonderful in the third dimensional world. And yet at the same time, these are the things that happened as I awoken onto the path. And one of the big things was in that year 1999, I just stepped outside one day, probably at lunch. I was very frustrated at work. And I said to Spirit, you need to bring me my bliss. You need to show me the bliss. I don't know if the movie was out at that time about show me. I didn't know it would take so long. I didn't know the path would be so amazingly illusion breaking.
We never do we? Everyone wants to get through it very quickly. I found that with my clients. We have to break now, and we were going to come back and speak to Mike a little bit more and get in depth about our connection with each other and how this has all evolved with both of us. When we come back, we will continue. I'm so glad we are getting a deeper look into both of our backgrounds, as each of us feels it's important to know a little more about who we are and how we got here. You are listening to Walking Terra Christa Radio with Mel and Mike on Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
The Seventh Wave Channel on the Voice America Network.
Do you consider yourself already on the pathway to walking on the new earth? Do you wonder what is next and how you're going to make it? Mel Aresi and Mike are here to assist with your own personal shamanic transformation. They offer personal sessions where you'll receive direct communication from the spiritual hierarchy to remember who you are as a being of divine love and light. These Master Ascension Guides also conduct 3 live calls each week on Sunday, Monday, and Wednesday at 5 p.m. North American Pacific Time. Each call taps you into the teachings and frequencies you will need to transform yourself to be able to fully embrace Terra Christa, the new earth. Get all the details at walkingterracrista.com. You will also get access to many high-frequency packed MP3 recordings, audio meditations, attunements, decrees, and a wealth of detailed information, plus be able to sign up for an Ascension Mastery class. If you have limited financial means, there is plenty to access according to their unique terms of exchange. Visit WalkingTerraCrista.com and accelerate your journey right away.
Step into the doorway to conscious choice, greater health, and well-being. Attain the balance that you've been seeking. Tune in and turn on 1111 Talk Radio. Feed the mind. Embrace positively. Release the tension. Step out of fear. Host Simran Singh will help you broaden your mind and open your heart toward a greater understanding of how to take charge of your life. 1111 Talk Radio is here every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on 7th Wave Network. 1111 Talk Radio, because shift happens. Be visionary. This is the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
You are tuned in to Walking Terra Christa Radio with Mel and Mike. If you wish to be a part of our program this week, please call in to 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. You may also send an email to radioshow@walkingterracrista.com. And now, back to our program.
Welcome back. I am Mel, and I am interviewing my host today as my pretend guest, Mike Hayden. We were talking about the corporate world and what his life was like as he first started his awakening, which I can really relate to myself, Mike. For many years, I did not fit in the corporate world, although I had to be there to create the funds to live comfortably. A lot of times I was temping, and I found out that I was releasing karmic relationships with the people I was working with. I balanced both of these worlds. I knew for some time that I just did not fit in the East Coast anymore, not even with my friends or family, though it had nothing to do with them. Spirit was telling me it was time to go live in an era of the country that higher frequencies, because that is what I needed. I knew this for a long time, and I never knew where I was going to go. So I took a trip to Manchester in 2010, the summer of 2010, and I was asked at that time by Lord Adam in Saint Germain if I could live there. I had walked all the vortices all by myself, and I could feel each of them being with me in the fifth dimension, although they were not physical through my physical eyes. And I said to them, now? I thought they wanted me to stay. I wasn't ready for that. I still had an apartment back in New Jersey. But they were preparing me for this big change. In July 2011, I took the plunge and drove over 3,000 miles. And being a woman alone with very little financial resources, I was just in that world of, this is what I'm going to do. If I really stopped to think about it physically, I probably would still be there. I also had a cat that had to be with me in a car for 9 days. So I knew I had to do it, but it did not seem a blessing at the time, I can assure you. It turned out that I was not only driving, but creating golden healing light as I was driving in the directions to help those areas for the new earth energies. This truly was a golden pilgrimage for me, as I still worked with spirit in each moment. Talk about not being grounded. I drank lots of coffee. Oh, and I forgot to mention, I was dealing with an infection in my veins in one of my legs that I created before I left. It was quite a challenge. And I know yours was also, but in a different way. Tell us about your excursion out to Mount Shasta.
You know, I can definitely understand how yours was a challenge. The actual trip, in any case, my life was challenging at that time. And I guess this kind of gets into our story as a couple, because only a month later than you, I was told by spirit to end my current work assignment, tell my kids I needed a vacation, and also head out across the country to come visit out here. Only I wasn't really told to come out here. And the journey that I took, I actually, once I decided to do it, stopped along the way to see some friends, so it was like a 2.5 week, you know, kind of vacation thing. But leading up to making that decision for me was it was very difficult. Once I actually made the decision, I knew I needed to come out to experience some of your teachings, and that's kind of what led me to choosing Mount Shasta as a destination. Obviously, I knew someone here, and my plan was to stop along the way to see people I knew. But the path to you were teaching the shamanic, you were teaching the higher frequencies, and they told me I needed to rediscover myself, that somehow along the way I had lost contact with the true me. And I suppose that was true. I didn't realize how true it was at the time. So I had come to a crossroad myself.
Well, this brings us to you actually arriving in Mount Shasta. I just have to say personally, when you told me that you were coming to Mount Shasta, I was a little shocked. I wasn't sure what we were supposed to do. But Lord Adama, of course, helped me through the process continually. And I know it was difficult. You left a job you thought would be there for you. You expected to be with your kids. You were getting blocked from gaining a new residence from Spirit and asked to find the real Mike. In my case, I've been doing this work around my day jobs for decades. You were not like me. It must have been very hard to just jump off that cliff.
It really was. I took my family responsibilities very seriously, my connections to my kids very seriously. I had been taking care of my mom, who was ailing for 6 years, and then she had about 8-9 months before, almost a year before. No, maybe 8-9 months. I think that's another lightworker trait, though, of being so loyal to our families and so loyal to our jobs and the people in our lives. We want to do right by them.
Oh, definitely.
And we a lot of times we just leave very little left for ourselves.
I would have never been here if my parents were still alive, or my oldest sister, probably not. But they've been gone for 8 years. This reminds me of Shirley MacLaine, as she coined the phrase, in order to get to the fruit of the tree, you have to go out on a limb. You definitely were guided to jump off the cliff. How do you think Spirit supported you through this pathway across the country?
They really did. I'd been in touch with Spirit before. I would have to say that me getting blocked and finding an apartment by my kids, my whole life I had it with my lower mental mind. I had it all. This was finally, the hardships were going to be over. I actually had worked with a client for many years, and they finally knew my work was really sufficient and superior, and they loved me. And I really wanted to get away from having to show up at their offices to help them through these things that I could do perfectly fine on my own, instead of just sitting in an office by myself, so that, I guess in the old style, they could see that I was really working. But I had perfected the marketing strategies I was using with them, the website systems. So I really was looking forward to moving back with my children since my mom had passed, and setting up a lifestyle that was much better for me and better for them, and doing the third dimensional matrix as a marketing consultant. And having that lifestyle, Spirit knew that if I stayed doing that, I could never be doing this. Of course, I didn't know that. So they literally blocked me, which in a strange sort of way was an assistance.
That's true. But let's talk about how you started connecting with your higher self a little bit.
I think the biggest thing was making the decision that, as my life was not working out the way I planned. So I was getting very frustrated in my plan coming together. As a matter of fact, I was in a moving truck moving my belongings when I received a phone call from my client saying, we're going to change things around here. We'd like you to stop being working by yourself as an independent and just coming in a couple days a week to talk to us. We'd like you to come in full time, 40 hours a week, and be our employee. And of course, that was now no longer where I lived. It was 60 miles away. So this was very perplexing for me, as that was my livelihood at the time. I also had an apartment booked with a gentleman who then called me up and said, sorry, I gave it to somebody else. So what happened was I had to let go and actually say to myself, okay, I asked for spirit to be in my life. I'm going to do what spirit says. And I was very fortunate to know people like yourself who channeled the higher dimensions in a very conscious way. So I gave up. I said, okay, you tell me what to do. And they presented me with, you can, you know, get into the dimensions that are not the third dimensional reality. You can open up yourself to these ways. And one of the big things was when, you know, about 8-9 months before, when you had done that higher self integration with me.
Yeah, that was something I had never done for anyone before. So that was pretty exciting.
And that really opened it up, because it opened the gateway for me to be able to know that there was something else besides my mental mind. And I'm very analytical, that very successful in my jobs because of it. I can see things analytically more than most people and be able to intuit what's going to happen down the line if we pursue a certain strategy. So this was very helpful. It was very difficult for me to let that go. Plus, I had my whole life planned out.
You thought you had it planned out.
I had it planned out.
Your higher self had it planned out.
So they gave me the option of deciding where I was going to go and what I was going to do, and I chose Mount Shasta. And on my way out here, first time I ever started to relax in maybe a long, long time, definitely over half a decade, if not more. And that opened up the gateway as well. So the process is, number one, stating maybe I'm not the guy in charge of my life. Maybe something else is in charge of who I am. Maybe it's my higher self. The second process is relaxing enough and letting go of all the other things in order to give yourself time to integrate that energy. And then, of course, then that just opened up the pathway for us. Because at the time, neither one of us knew the pathway included us.
Well, no, we did not. That was a wonderful doorway for you to access your higher self and let go of that mental activity so much. Although I know you still have a problem with that.
It is still a challenge at times, though. I'm much, much better than I was.
Oh, you are much, much better, believe me. We are going to be breaking very soon, but when we come back, we're going to get more into what happened to us when Mike arrived here for his visit, thinking he was only here for a vacation. It was not a vacation at all. But it just is wonderful to hear you express how all this occurred for you. We are on Walking Tarot Crystal Radio. Thank you for being with us. If you'd like to call in now, the number is 866-472-5795.
This is the Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
Do you consider yourself already on the pathway to walking on the new earth? Do you wonder what is next and how you're going to make it? Melaresi and Mike are here to assist with your own personal shamanic transformation. They offer personal sessions where you'll receive direct communication from the spiritual hierarchy to remember who you are as a being of divine love and light. These Master Ascension Guides also conduct 3 live calls each week on Sunday, Monday, and Wednesday at 5 p.m. North American Pacific Time. Each call taps you into the teachings and frequencies you will need to transform yourself to be able to fully embrace Terra Crista, the new earth. Get all the details at walkingterracrista.com. You will also get access to many high-frequency packed MP3 recordings, audio meditations, attunements, decrees, and a wealth of detailed information, plus be able to sign up for an Ascension Mastery class.
If you have limited financial means, there is plenty to access according to their unique terms of exchange. Visit WalkingTerraCrista.com and accelerate your journey right away.
What are your cards telling you? Aces are very independent. Twos can mean love to be paired. And an eight means a power card. The cards give us all the information that we need about love and relationships, and most importantly, our matches. To find out what your cards say, and so much more, tune in to Love, Relationships, and Destiny with your personal psychic, Adrian Miles, live every Thursday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America 7th Wave channel. Which cards are in your future?
The Voice America 7th Wave channel. Seek greater awareness.
You are tuned in to Walking Terra Christa Radio with Mel and Mike. If you wish to be a part of our program this week, please call in to 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. You may also send an email to radioshow@walkingterracrista.com. And now, back to our program.
Hi, this is Mel, and I am interviewing my co-host, Mike. Welcome to Walking Terra Christa Radio. We were discussing about Mike arriving in Manchester just for a visit. I had been here for about a month. I had had a friend with me, and then she left. And then all of a sudden, I hear that Mike is arriving, and I'm like, okay, what is this about? We didn't really know each other that well. We had spent some time in the early part of the year doing some healing work together and connecting. But I was very concerned because he told me, I don't think I need your five-day program. It was the program I was giving to clients for going to the vortices and receiving high attunements. Lord Adama whispered to me, we shall see about that. So, Mike, tell us, what did you feel in the energies and what was the deciding moment that you felt that you truly wanted to live here?
Well, I don't think there was any one light bulb effect. It was more like just the accumulation of, for that first week, I didn't really know what your program was fully about. And so, but just visiting those vortex areas and having the ceremonies that we did and the initiations, because clearly there was a lot more to me, to the real Mike, than I even knew about. So a lot of the ceremonies of bringing in the spiritual guides and the masters just reminding me of who I really was.
Yeah, I remember that Saint Germain and Lord Adama just told me, just take it one day at a time and be in the moment. And one of the days we drove up to Ascension Rock, which is partly up the mountain that you walk through the woods and you go to these rocks that are absolutely amazing, the frequency. And I remember Saint Germain talking to us about our relationship, which was very new to us at that time. And then he was very candid, kind of shocked us a bit. And he spoke about us being twin souls, which are really true friends. And we had moved into a twin flame relationship. Now, this time, we're not intimate with each other, except as friends. It's growing with us. And we had the potential for a twin ray relationship. Of course, neither of us knew the depth of how this would happen.
Not only that, I wasn't even aware that there was a difference between twin souls and twin flames, and had no clue that there was such a thing as a twin ray relationship. It was way over my head. So this was all very shocking to me, but yet, and here's the key, this was not just somebody telling me in my analytical mind what, you know, this is, you know, this, you're, this is what the situation is. No, it was the energies that I felt. And then the week that you and I spent together, we didn't have any of the relationship issues that I've had with everybody else on the planet. So that is really what helped me to start to understand that there was more to the picture, because I couldn't deny the energy, the frequency, the way I felt. And I couldn't deny the energies of the ceremonies. I mean, I know people on our calls, the three calls we do every week plus the classes, they are just blown away by the energies of the calls, and you can't deny it. So as much as your rational mind, your lower mind, wants to say, well, this can't be real, this is just crazy stuff, I certainly had that attitude, even though I consider myself a lightworker, somebody very much into believing that, you know, personal sovereignty and bringing back humanity's love onto the planet is where it's at. I had no idea it was actually about frequencies and vibration and discovering parts of yourself, energies and meditations that you just didn't know you were there, even if you did meditate.
I know. I remember you weren't really involved in getting on the calls last year when we were both on the East Coast. So this was all a total shock to me to have you come out here, but it was a blessing in my life. Let's talk about the Sweat Lodge with Walking Eagle. I believe that's when, for me, it really truly shifted into the higher realms. And I was really excited about this because I perceived it. Interdimensionally, I could feel it, and Spirit kept telling me, just be patient, he will get there. And I was like, what? I don't think so. But here we are in this relationship working together, and it's working beautifully. We're doing a radio show, and more is happening for us. I'd like you to explain a little bit about the gift we received from Spirit on that day.
Well, one of the things about the Sweat Lodge, and by the way, that was my first authentic Sweat Lodge with an actual Native American. And Walking Eagle does a great job with that. And we went to Stort Mineral Springs, which is in the town next to Mount Shasta. And it's a kind of a magical place in a way that has a creek that runs through it, where people actually go to cleanse themselves, which is a very ancient ceremonial thing to do. But with, as I'm learning with most things, it's not just a thing to do because it's ceremonial. It's a thing to do because it's energetically real and it actually does cleanse you. So after the Sweat Lodge, it was a very hot day. There was a lot of people going back to the creek to cleanse themselves. And you and I, or at least I, had never been there. So we went back there, and there's people that are naked in the stream.
A little bit of an awakening for us.
I will say so. So I knew that it was a very important ritual. And also to be unclothed, because that gets you fully in touch with releasing. So what I wanted to do was go in, and of course you and I didn't really know each other that well. You know, we'd spent not even a full week together.
We decided to go in fully clothed from the lodge.
We did, and then actually most of the people had just kind of disappeared after the Sweat Lodge by the time we got down there. And there was this absolutely beautiful and radiant older woman, probably in her 60s, who came by us, nodded to me, walked right by you, and extremely gracefully disrobed and stepped into the creek. And she, you know, she wasn't a model or anything. She was, but the way she held her body,
she was amazing.
She was unbelievable.
I was jealous.
And I realized that that is just the grace that she held, and the beauty that we just that we could do that, that I could do it anyway, in the same vein. And it turned out, the way she looked at me, I realized there was something more to her than meets the
eye.
Yeah,
she acknowledged me deeply. So let's tell our viewers who we found out who she was.
Well, one of the things I learned on this week of being with you was that the Ascended Masters, the spiritual hierarchy, actually will come to you when you least expect it, when you're on this journey, when you've made a conscious choice to pursue it. And that was Lady Kuan Yin.
And that was the beginning. That was the beginning of our initiations. The Lady Masters, the spiritual hierarchy working with us, were going to be running out of time very soon. But the culmination was Mike left and he came back for the 11-11 ceremony, which was our initiation into the priest and the priestess for the new earth.
It was, and that's when, and Lord Buddha, of course, is a divine complement of Kuan Yin, And Lord Buddha was very much present, his energies there at that Stuart Mineral Springs.
We could have another whole show on the story that happened 6 months after that of the training that we had to go through.
I think we would need a whole season of
shows for that story. It was quite intense, but here we are. We are Twin Flames in the Twin Ray Reunion, and we also assist others. Thank you so much for being with us today. We are now going to sign off from Walking Terra Christa Radio. Thank you, Mike, for sharing your story, and I can share my story, and now people know our connection with each other. Thanks, everyone. Have a great weekend, and make it very 5D.
Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Thank you again for listening. Please join Christine Mellaresi and Mike Hayden again next Friday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. in the West, on the Voice America 7th Wave channel as we continue Walking Terra Christa Radio. Have a 5D weekend.